When I was waiting on test results, I was afraid. I was scared. Everybody just started praying. I had so many people praying for me.
This hearing challenge was huge for me, and I knew something had to be done.
We're living in a 500 square foot camper. My family's growing, and we prayed specifically for needs, not really wants. It just seems at this point, it's impossible.
My name is Portia McGehee, and I've been going to Pine Lake for 5 years.
My name is Tony Russell, and I've been going to Pine Lake for 5 years.
My name is Kim York, and I have been going to Pine Lake for 6 years now.
I'm a small group leader in the kids ministry. About 5 years ago, I had been diagnosed with mild to moderate hearing loss.
Me, my wife, and my son were living in a camper on the reservoir. My wife tells me she's pregnant. This is not a good time to be in a camper. It's not big enough. We need more space. So we decided to start trying to find a house.
So I went in for my yearly exam. I wasn't too concerned. The years prior, they hadn't found anything.
With my hearing loss, I was managing pretty well, but more recently, I was having to ask the kids to repeat themselves. And I'd let the kids know, hey, Miss Portia has a hearing problem here.
The nurse came in, said the radiologist had seen something concerning on the scan and wanted to do some more tests.
We're living in a 500 square foot camper. My family's growing. Every time we try to bid on a house, we're getting outbid.
I was scared. We have a family history of cancer. My aunt died of breast cancer. My dad died of cancer. So I was pretty frightened.
And it was beginning to be more frustrating to me so much that I thought, all right, maybe I don't need to serve next year. I won't commit to serving anymore in the kids' ministry.
And he did confirm that it was breast cancer.
That I'm done. I'm just done.
After praying all these specific prayers, it just seems like it's going to be impossible.
You know, I think a lot of us can identify, relate with Miss Portia, with Kim, with Tony. You know, you're rolling along, and next thing you know, life starts to happen, and needs rise, and crises come up, and you really need God to step in and help. And so we're going to be talking about what they're talking about on that their testimony, and that is just prayer. I want God to move in my life powerfully. Do you want God to move in your life powerfully? Don't you sometimes need help? Now, we talk about prayer a good bit at Pine Lake. We devote a whole month to it in February, right? For 28 days, we're praying about one thing. We have nights of prayer, and we pray in our services. And so I want to kind of remind some of you of why we do that today, but I really also want to cast vision for you, if you're maybe new here or haven't been around here or wondering about Pine Lake, maybe you're worshiping with us online right now, I want to kind of cast some vision for us today about you being a part of a praying family, which is going to require that you be a person of prayer. But if you would become a person of prayer, that if your life began to manifest connection with God, conversation with God, that began to see the supernatural happen as you pray, that prayer is the downspout for the divine dimension. It's the portal to the supernatural. But if you would do that, your life could be changed. Your family and friends' lives could be changed. Our lives could be changed, and our community would be transformed, and God would have a witness in his people, okay? Now we're doing this not because Chip thought this was a good idea. Hey, what am I going to talk about? No, we're doing this because I believe this is what it means to be the church. Not come to church, glad you're here, glad you're with us, but we're learning to become a person. Not come to church, but to be the church. And we're in Acts chapter 2. We're going to kind of be all over the book of Acts today. But we're anchored in Acts chapter 2, where this is what the Bible says about the first believers. It says, and they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching. That's what we talked about last week, the word of God. To fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. They're constantly giving themselves to prayer. And here's what happened. Everybody is feeling this sense of awe. God is showing up. And many wonders and signs were taking place through the apostles. How many of y'all want to go to that church? All four of y'all, see me after church is over with. Like, we'll have that church. I mean, don't you want to go to that church where, man, something is happening that is so unexplainable? Miracles, signs, wonders, God's answering prayers. Our lives are different. Folks who are addicted are set free. Folks who are brokenhearted are getting bound up. Folks who are far from God are welcomed back home. People who have been isolated and separated are brought back into love and community together. How does that kind of stuff happen? When people devote themselves to the Word of God, the truth of God, and prayer. To talking to God. That's what prayer is at its most basic level. It's prayer's talking to God. Okay, you know this. Even if you don't believe in God, there's probably been a time when you've prayed. The cops were behind you, the test results weren't where you wanted, and all of a sudden you're like, oh God. You know prayer is talking to God. And Jesus taught us to pray this way. He said, ask like this. Give us this day our daily bread. You got a need? Relationally, financially, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, God, I need help. That's awesome. And that is the beginning place of prayer. Please hear me. The beginning place of prayer. It's like kindergarten of prayer. That I'm talking to God. God says, come on, bring that. Yes, but let me take you further still. Prayer further still becomes less you talking to God and, you know, telling God everything you need. Prayer becomes communion with God. Right, the Bible calls this abiding. It calls it praying constantly so that you're connected with God. Listen, prayer, as you grow in it, prayer becomes less about your words and did I say that right? And it becomes more about your heart. Am I connected right? Am I surrendered to God? Am I really in love with God or do I just want his goodies? Right? Because Jesus taught us to pray like this. He said, my Father's house will be a house of prayer, but you have made it a robber's den. Y'all remember that? Jesus was throwing down on the people of his day who had gotten it mixed up. They were going through the motions, but they were missing the heart connection. So he quotes Isaiah, my Father's house is a house of prayer. Then he quotes Jeremiah, but you've turned it into a robber's den. Now the context of that robber's den comment, we learned last August talking about prayer was that Jeremiah was saying to the people who were coming in and out of church every week, going through the motions, saying the right words, but Monday through Saturday, they live like hell. They live so far from God, so alienated from God, that for them to show up on Sunday and ask God for help, and God, where are yours? Knowing that tomorrow, they ain't got no intention of it. He says, you're robbing me, you're using me, and I'm not down with that. Right? Now, that's kind of hard, but let's wrap our minds around it, because here in the South, or on the other side of the world, there is a temptation to try to rob God. God, I need, God, I need, God, I need. But if your heart's not given to God, why should he? Why should he? Okay. So we want to learn to connect to God and say, God, more than your hand moving, I want your face, God. I want to be with you. And watch this. Here's where it'll take you further still. This is what we've learned, is that prayer at its deepest level is really more God talking to you than it is you talking to God. The best prayers start in heaven. In other words, when you're in this connection to God, you start to pray, God, what do you want to do? God, your kingdom come. Your will be done. Not mine. God, how do you want me to pray about this relationship? How do you want me to pray about this job? How do you want me to pray about this semester at school? God, how do you want me to pray about this friendship or this investment? God, what do you want to have done? And God, I want to pray in alignment with that. Y'all good? Y'all understand? This is what prayer ought to become for us. Let's start with talking to God. That's awesome. But I'm going to call some of you deeper still today to communion with God, to learning to listen to God and letting your prayers start in heaven, rather than just in my head and based on what I see and what I know and what I want. Now, I think Jesus lived his life this way. I think this was the key to his life. I think it was key to his power. I think it was key to his knowing who he should talk to, who he should select. I think it was prayer. I don't understand all the theology around Jesus was fully God and fully man. That's a mystery, isn't it? How you do that? I don't know, but the Bible tells us that's what he did. Somehow he laid aside his right to exercise that divine privilege that he had and power that he had, and he lived like you and me, which meant that he was limited. He didn't have a cheat code. All right? He was living like you're trying to live right now, and yet he learned to pray. His rhythm was withdraw and then go work. Get away and then go engage. To come apart and then go be empowered to preach and to do the miracles. I've read Luke a half a dozen times in the last several weeks. I'm just telling you, you're watching. He doesn't go work and then withdraw. He always starts with listening to the Father, and then he goes and he does life out of that. The disciples are so impressed by that that they never ask Jesus to do anything, to teach them to do anything else. Never ask Jesus to teach us how to preach. Oh, that'd be pretty cool. He's a powerful preacher. They never ask Jesus, show us how you heal folk. The only thing they asked him to teach them how to do, show us how to do, is show us how to pray like you do. Bro, because ain't nobody praying like you praying. And ain't nobody getting what you getting whenever you pray. Teach us to pray. And they learned how to pray. This is the good news. The first time they tried to pray, they all fell asleep. Come on, somebody say amen. That's me. All right. They fell asleep right in the garden, passed smooth out three different times. But now they're devoting themselves to prayer. And you may have stumbled in your prayer life before. You may not have, you know, I'm not real good at it, you know, fall asleep. Man, fall asleep in Jesus. That's awesome. Wake up in his arms. Man, I just, you know, I'm not any good at it, but you can be. And the invitation from God to you today is to begin to see your life be a portal to the impossible. A downspout to a different dimension where God's divine power and plan is released through you. When you read through the book of Acts, here's what happened when they prayed. I want to start there and just tell you what happened and then how they actually prayed and then call us into a little time of prayer. What happens? What can you expect whenever you pray? Look, again, I read the Gospel of Luke a half a dozen times at least in the last several weeks, and then I've read the book of Acts at least through chapter 16, 17. A half a dozen times. I'm just trying to say, okay, God, how'd they do that? If that's what they gave themselves to, the apostles' teaching, fellowship, breaking the bread and prayer, God, what'd that look like in real time? And so I'm just trying to figure it out. Here's what happened when they prayed. God gave supernatural revelation. In other words, God directed their life as they prayed, just like Jesus. As they prayed, God show us, God showed them. If you're a gamer, you've got any gamers out there, prayer's your cheat code. It is your cheat code. You're a normal person, but prayer's like a cheat code because God's telling you what's coming. If you're a stock trader, prayer is your insider information. This is how God knows all things. He knows what's coming, and in prayer, he's going to align you and your heart and your life and your request with what's coming. Y'all feel me? All right, so God would give to the apostles divine revelation. He would give them vision. So Peter gets a vision in Acts 10 that God no longer is just dealing with Jewish people. And it's always been his heart, but now he's officially saying, take this gospel to every tongue, tribe, and nation. How did Peter, a good Jewish man, know to do that? God gave him a vision and said, this is the what I want you to preach from now on. Preach to everybody, especially this dude named Cornelius, who's got some guys on the way to find you right now. Paul in Acts 16 was on the struggle bus. How many of y'all ever been on the struggle bus before? Come on, I've been on the struggle bus. Man, ain't nothing gonna go right. I can't get anything to work out for me. Paul's on the struggle bus. He's going bouncing around Asia Minor, can't catch a break. And it's like God was saying, Paul, would you please quit doing what you think you should do, and would you let me guide you? And in Acts 16, the Bible says God gave him a vision of a man in a different country, Macedonia, saying, hey, come over here and help us. And Paul said, God, is that you? And he said, sure is. That's my message. And so Paul went to Macedonia, and life opened up for him. Why? Because he got a vision from God. God was directing him. God may speak to you through visions. He doesn't always do that. Maybe you get a picture in your mind or something like that. But listen, if the vision God gives you is contradictory to this book I hold in my hand, then you just, you ate the wrong thing. You got a little tummy ache. Don't believe that vision you got. Okay, God's visions always are in alignment with his revealed word. Okay, so God gave me a vision to divorce my husband. No, he didn't. God gave me a vision to sleep with my girlfriend. No, he didn't. Y'all with me? God gave me a vision to borrow a whole bunch of money and go buy a Powerball ticket. Only if you tithe when you win. I'm kidding. He didn't tell you that. Borrower is slave to the lender. Y'all see what I'm saying? A vision from God is always going to be in alignment with this. Sometimes it's vision. Sometimes it's a leading from God, a prompting from God. Here's what I mean by that. Sometimes it's not that, man, I've been reading in the Word and God didn't give me a picture, but man, I feel like I'm supposed to. And so we would say, I feel like God's telling me to. I'm not talking about being with an audible voice, oh, I heard God say it, but there's something inside of me this is the Spirit of God telling me this is what I'm supposed to do. Now, that was in the Bible. A guy named Ananias in Acts chapter 9 was praying when God talked to him. Okay, Acts chapter 9 verse 11 says, and the Lord said to him, get up and go to the street called Straight and inquire at the house of Judas for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for he's praying. So Ananias, a guy you've maybe never heard of, he's not an apostle, he's not called a disciple, a normal dude praying, and God says, I want you to go find this cat named Saul, and I want you to pray over him. Now, if you know the story, Ananias says to God, God, I don't think so. That man is actually currently with papers in hand killing Christians. And God said, I know, but I'm going to protect you and I'm going to change him. And so Ananias, led by God, goes, and God brings transformation to Saul. Scales fall from his eyes, and he's baptized and becomes an incredible missionary apostle. Why? Because a man listened for God while he was praying. He's not the only one. Other times, God gives visions, he gives words, he gives leadings that would direct people on who to choose as the next disciple or who to set apart to go on missionary. They're praying and God's giving revelation. I'm saying to you, God wants to give you divine direction. How do you know where to go to school? How do you know where to put your kids in school? How do you know what to major in if you go to college? How do you know if you should take that job? How do you know if you should date that person or break up with that person? How do you know what the next step is? God, show me. And God shows you. There's revelation, spiritual revelation. Here's another thing that happened in the book, just kind of broad categories, deliverance. Bad stuff happening, and God supernaturally intervenes to set people free. Peter was in prison in Acts chapter 12. We'll look at it in a minute. He's in prison. He's going to die tomorrow. He's going to be executed the next day. And so the church is praying for him on one side of town. Peter's on the other side of town in jail, and God sends an angel and supernaturally frees him. And so he walks out of the jail. And it's a deliverance. And so throughout the book of Acts, you see people being delivered through storms or from different kinds of stonings or death or different things. There's deliverance that you can sometimes expect from God. You can expect miracles sometimes. Through the hands of ordinary people, sick folks were healed, lame people walked, dead people lived. The apostles did it, but listen, a guy named Philip did it, Stephen did it. Folks that are normal people were actually being used of God to do miraculous things because the same spirit living in Peter was living in Ananias or Philip. Okay, so here's what I'm trying to say to you. I want to encourage you a little bit, okay? You're in college, but God's already wanting to use you. You in grade school, and God already wants to use your prayers to help the kids in your school. You at the hospital, God wants to use you. You may be in retirement, God wants to use you. I know you're not the preacher. Same spirit in me, same spirit in you. Same spirit was in Peter, Paul, James, and John. Right? Now, when they prayed, as they yielded to God, as they're connected to God, come on, faith family, we got to quit living like the flesh is all we got. If the flesh is all we got, why are we here? We might as well just stayed home and worked harder. Y'all feel me? But if there is a God in heaven, and if there really is a spiritual dimension, don't you want to tap into it? Don't you want to know? Don't you want to be in with it? That's the invitation. Heaven, listen, salvation and relationship with God's not, hey, I'm not going to hell, I'm going to heaven. Yes, that's true, but today, God wants to release his kingdom to you and to your family and friends and change things. You with it? And so all he's looking for is a little girl to say, I'll do it. All he's looking for is a daddy to say, at my house, okay, I'm down with that. Normal people and miracles are happening. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. This is a stretching point for me, okay? Some of y'all may check out totally on me, and I'm sorry. I'm just telling you where God's working in my life. You can help me understand better by and by, maybe. But here's what as I read through the book of Acts, I've read Jesus' life and I'm reading in the book of Acts, they did not pray for people to be healed. They did not pray for people to be healed. They prayed and then they healed people. For a little Baptist dude, that's a stretch. And yet that's what the Bible says happened. Peter was called, hey man, this woman has died. This woman who's so amazing to us, she's died. Could you do anything? And the Bible says in Acts chapter 9, verse 40, Peter sent them all out of the room. He knelt down and he prayed. And then turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, woman, arise. He didn't pray, God heal her, God raise her. He prayed, and then he turned to her body and said, get up, and she did. Is anybody else wrecked by that besides me? Because I've always just prayed for people, and this is a stretching moment. I'm just telling you, I'm being stretched by this. I'm still going to pray God heal you. But if I'm understanding the word, if I'm talking with God and I'm listening for God and saying, God, what do you want to do? And the Spirit of God and the Word of God align with, I want healing, then I can speak out, be healed. Now please hear me. They didn't take for granted, oh God, it's God's will for everybody to be healed. He at least prayed and asked. All right, so that's wrecking somebody's theology right there. Because there's mystery in God. He knows more than you know. So don't just assume, oh yeah, God's will for everybody to be healed. He's God, not me. I'm standing in the word, but I got to be under his authority to say, God, do you want me to apply that word right now or no? You got something else going on? Is this the right timing for that? But I'm listening for God. He doesn't just assume it was God's will. He prays, but neither does he pray, God, would you just strengthen their family? Because this girl ain't getting up. Lord, just give them comfort. Lord, if it be your will, you could heal her. Apparently, he doesn't pray that either. Apparently, he prayed, God, how should I go talk to my wife? God, what should I do with this offense? God, what should I do with this dude at work tomorrow? Holy Spirit, show me. And then do that. Pray that. If we do prayer right, I'm convinced we should expect the same types of result. Revelation. Oh, I'm down with that. Yeah, God's going to direct us. Deliverance. Oh, I'm kind of down with that. Miracles. Empowerment. You talked about last week, whenever they're praying in the upper room, right? The Holy Spirit falls and all of a sudden everybody's speaking in tongues. Those were not unintelligible languages. When they're speaking in tongues, they are known languages that these people who had gathered from all over the earth are all of a sudden hearing. Parthian and Egyptian or whatever other dialects, they're hearing in their own language. And these country guys who were the original disciples, they never studied any of that. And yet God supernaturally enabled them to be able to speak that way. God can do that kind of thing. He can take a dude who's like Peter, oh, he's all that, bruh. He's all that. Well, I'm ready to fight, man. I'm ready to throw down. But then a little girl asks him about his faith, and he's like, oh, I don't even know what you're talking about. He can't even stand up to a little girl around that fire that night because he didn't pray. His spirit was willing, but his flesh was weak. Oh, but you let him pray for 10 days and get the Holy Ghost on him, he can stand in front of 1,000 people and say, "This is Jesus' will." And without shame, he can testify why he's been empowered. God can give you the power and the strength to stand at your fraternity or sorority house. He can give you the strength or power to stand at your hunting club or with your bunco group or with your teammates, wherever that is. He can empower you to make it through. He can do that. And so we should pray, God, would you bring divine empowerment? He can enable you to do what you don't feel like doing in your flesh, but you know God's calling you to do in the spirit. Here's what I'm talking about, Acts chapter 4. Peter had been preaching, and the religious leaders didn't like it, so they beat him down. They gave him a thrashing. They gave him a whipping, him and the other guys. And they go back to where the church is gathered, and they're going to pray about it now. Now, if it's me, let me tell you how I'm going to pray for them people who just whipped me. Lord, I need you to kill all of them. y'all can hate if you want to. I'm just being honest with you. Isn't that what we pray? God, would you just, whoever that is that gave them that word, God, whatever king or ruler or governor, God, you got to get them out. We got to get the right person in there so we don't have to put up with this mess no more. God, I pray you just deliver me from ever having to go through that kind of pain again. Lord, I don't ever want to do that again. That's the way we would pray. And I'm not hating on it, but let's be honest. We are pain averse. We're suffering averse. We are hardship averse. I don't want that, so we pray against it all the time. But watch what they prayed, Acts chapter 4. It says they get back to the others, and in verse 29, now the Lord take, he said, this is their prayer. Now, Lord, take note of their threats and grant that your bondservants may speak your word with all confidence. While you extend your hand to heal and signs and wonders take place through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. So they didn't pray, God, make it stop. They said, God, make us strong. God, you don't give me what I can handle. You handle what you give me. And so give me capacity to handle what you gave me. Give me confidence. Give me power. I'm going to do what you tell me to do. You do what only you can do. And the Bible says that whenever they prayed that way, the place where they had gathered together was shaken. They're all filled with the Spirit, and they began to speak the word of God with boldness. You feel what they're praying. They're not praying, God, I want an easy life. I don't want anybody to suffer. They're praying, God, whatever comes at me, I want to be faithful, make your name holy. And I'm not saying don't pray for pain to go away and suffering to be dismissed. You'd be silly not to at least start there. God's not calling you to be a masochist and, oh, I just need to bring the pain. And so nobody in their right mind thinks that way normally and naturally. But as a follower of Jesus, you shouldn't stop there. You should be willing to say, my Father who art in heaven, make your name holy. And let your kingdom come and strengthen me to do it. And if suffering be my lot for your name, I'll gladly do it. Oh, I ain't there yet, y'all, but I so want to be. There is this sense in which God empowers people. They prayed to empower each other. When you read through the book of Acts, it's funny how many times they lay hands on each other. Like, you know, where people are about to leave, they're about to go on a journey or about to go on a missionary trip or, you know, we're not going to see each other for a while, and they would lay hands on them. And so before they went out to do whatever God called them to do, people would just gather around them, lay hands on them. I don't know if they're identifying with them, I think. I think they're saying, God, we're just physically touching them so that they might feel your power and your presence. Jesus physically touched most of the people that he healed. There's something about another human laying a hand on your shoulder, on your head, on your arm or hand. There's something about that, and so they did that. So here's what I want to ask you to do. We're trying to establish a culture of in our church of prayer, right? This is who we are. It's not you know, something that you do. It's who we are, so that whenever we from time to time have people raise a hand and say, you know what, all the administrators for school or teachers, raise your hand, and the people around you put a hand on your shoulder. Hey, I want you, if you need to be prayed for, raise your hand. And I want everybody around them to be comfortable saying, you know what? Because we're faith family, I can gently touch you. We're not groping people. We're just saying, I identify with you. I speak the presence of Jesus over you. You with me? You know who else needs that? Your kids, before they go to college. You need to put your arm around their shoulder and say, God, would you just give my baby girl protection and wisdom? God, go in front of her. Let her know she's a light bearer and a kingdom bringer. God, she ain't going alone. God, direct her steps. Y'all with me? You pray her up. You pray him up. You know who needs it? Your kids, before they go to school in the morning, before you drop them out of the carpool line, before they get on that Yellow Dog bus. I had to ride the Yellow Dog bus. I don't know about y'all. I rode the bus to school for a long time. Before they go, you pray them up. My mama used to pray me up before I get out of the car going to baseball practice. We got to pray. I mean, oh my gosh. Anybody else do that to their mama? Oh my gosh. Hurry up. Mama would pray for me every single time, till one time she didn't. I was like, you going to pray? So parents, can I just say, would you just establish, oh, we're going to pray up in this house. Now, when you're grown and you think you can go live life on your own, you ain't got to pray. But in this house, we believe in the power of Jesus and his name to protect us and provide for us and go before us and make a way for us. I can't imagine living life without him, and I ain't about to let you get out this car without his protection and his name spoken over you. Come on, I'm convinced that what our kids need is not more information. You are never going to be smarter than all their teachers and all their friends and all that influence. But let me tell you what's going to keep your son or daughter connected to Jesus whenever they see powerful answers to specific prayers. When there ain't no way to explain a translator in Matamoros, Mexico, in the second grade who speaks the King's English, other than my daughter prayed, God, we need a translator because none of us speak Spanish. And yet, boom, he shows up, or she shows up. I'm just telling you, something happens. Eyes get bigger. We prayed for this. Now, she's second grade. She's a little bit smaller than what we were hoping for, but she can speak it. You with me? Powerful answers to specific prayers. So come on, man, this is our job. This is us stepping up to say, man, I want that kind of empowerment for my family. How'd they pray? Well, they prayed together sometimes. Sometimes they all got together. They were in one place. Everybody's up there praying. Now, they may not all have been praying at the same time. I don't know, right? Baptist folk, we can't pray but one at a time. But the charismatic folk, y'all all talk at the same time. It's confusing to me. I don't know in the upper room if all 120 were praying at the same time, but it says they were all with one mind praying in that room. Sometimes I think they prayed separately, but together. And sometimes they prayed together, but separately. Sometimes they're praying together. So whenever they're praying as one, they're modeling for you and for me. There are times whenever we call for a prayer gathering, whenever we call for a service, don't go, oh my gosh, I ain't going to that. That'll be boring. No. What we're hoping is that the Spirit of Jesus is going to start showing up more and more, and people are going to be delivered, people are going to get a word, people are going to have a miracle. Why? Because we're just saying, God, we long for you. What do you want? Whenever we pray as a faith family, I'm asking you to take that seriously and not go, oh my gosh, man, I can't pray. God wants you to just speak the prayer. Simple as it is, you speak your prayer. I heard a guy this week stand up in a college football program and pray a three-sentence prayer, and it was plenty. Prayer like a child, and yet it was enough. Pray. Don't be afraid. I don't say, oh gosh, I don't even know how to pray, Chip. The only way you're going to learn, start doing it. Years ago, I got a letter from a girl who was a nurse, and she said, hey, look, this past week at my office, we got a call, and there was one of our patients who was in a very, very bad place personally, and she was contemplating harming herself, and she had called our office as a last desperate attempt. And so her training kicks in. She immediately gets the authorities notified, and they're en route, but she's talking to this person for a few minutes. And so she's talked to her for a couple of minutes, and she says, hey, can I pray for you? And the lady says, yes, you can pray for me. And so she prays out loud with her over the phone until help arrived. She said, Chip, let me tell you why that's a big deal. Because just a few months ago, I came to renewal on a Wednesday night at the Reservoir campus, and I had never prayed out loud in my life. And there came a moment where you asked us to get out either this little card we were handed on the way in with a prayer request on it, or pull out our phone and go to the prayer page of our app, and we were supposed to read the need out loud and then just pray a simple prayer out loud with another person. She said, I'd never done that, scared to death, but I made it. I did it. And every week I would come back and I would do it again, and I would do it again, so much so that when I prayed for that girl on the phone, I had total peace because I knew how to pray out loud. Come on, I'm saying to you, God wants you to grow to being a prayer warrior, and you got to practice. You don't got to be Shakespeare when you pray. I wish you wouldn't. I wish you'd just be simple. Get to the point, and then shut up. Jesus said to him, well, you think you're going to be heard for all your many words? Save it. God already knows. You just express it. Go with it. We need to pray together. You know what we need to pray? We need to pray by ourselves. You need to learn to pray. We're all going to be praying, but we're not together, but we're all going to be praying. And the Bible says they did that too. Ananias is in his room praying, and Saul's across town. He's praying, yet God's about to hook him up. Peter's on top of his roof praying. Cornelius been a town or two away. He's over there praying. God's about to blend those prayer lives together. Okay, so the early church, it says that they devoted themselves to prayer, but it actually says to the prayers, which means, many scholars believe, that there were devoted times of prayer to the formal praying times and hours, meaning that good Jews prayed in the morning, midday, and evening. Kind of like you say the blessing at breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Praying three times a day, they would pray three times a day, but really good Jews prayed five times a day. 6 a.m., 9 a.m., noon, 3 p.m., 6 p.m. And so when they gave themselves to the prayers, that means that they were likely observing these set-aside times where we're going to stop what we're doing and we're just going to talk to God. We're going to be reminded that God can do more in a minute than I can do in a lifetime. And so I'm going to pray to God at set times through the day, okay? Right now I have an alarm on my phone that goes off at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. because as a staff, we're trying to learn. It's a hard habit to break away and a hard habit to break into. I'm going to pray at those times. Maybe 2 minutes, it may be 15 minutes, but I'm going to pray. We're going to pray separately but together. You need to learn to pray by yourself. Over the break, one of the things that God stirred in me was he reignited just some personal prayer in my life. And I'm so thankful. Because in the midst of the day-to-day, it's hard to find time to pray, isn't it? But when I had downtime and I've got a couple of weeks of vacation and a couple of weeks to just study and be with God, I didn't watch the clock and I didn't have another appointment or a meeting to go to, and I could just stay longer. I mean, you stay off long enough, you don't even know what day it is. I hate to confess that, but you don't, well, I mean, what day is it? Is it Wednesday? I mean, is it Tuesday? I don't know. But that unhurried time with God, and for me, I have to mix it up. When I'm praying by myself, I have to mix it up. I can't pray the same way every day or else my prayers become the same every day. Come on, can I get an amen? If I pray the same way every day, my prayers become the same every day, and I'm not connecting, I'm not growing, I'm not trusting, I'm not faithing, I'm starting to tell God what I think he ought to do. And so God's helping me to kind of mix it up a little bit. Yes, I'll pray spontaneously sometime. God, would you be with Scout and his family? They really need you right now. God, would you be with my mama? She's got that doctor's appointment in a little bit. God, would you be with my baby girl? She's on that mission trip. Yes, you pray spontaneously. Absolutely, you should do that. I did that. But I also prayed the word of God back to God when I would do my L3 in the mornings. I would just, when I read, whatever I'm reading, whenever I'm reading about the stupid kings in Chronicles, I'm like, God, please don't let me do this. God, am I doing this? God, don't let my wife, don't let my kids do this. God, would you give us a heart of faithfulness? I'm just praying the word. It's stuff I would never think of, but now I see it. I'm praying the word of God back to God. Y'all with that? Pray that way. Pray that way. I pray the Jesus-centered life prayer sometimes. And you can pray it in literally in 15 seconds. God, I rejoice in my salvation. I receive my identity as a spiritual man in you. I surrender my life to you and everything about it today, and I stand in my authority as a follower of Jesus. You can pray it that quick, but you know what? You can pray that thing for an hour. If you start to looking at those circles and saying, God, show me what it means to be a man like you. Show me what it means to really be surrendered. Sometimes I pray the Lord's Prayer. I prayed Our Father prayer, right? And so you can pray that prayer in one breath, can't you? I mean, your little kid's sports team will do it after every little soccer game. They're going to pray the Lord's Prayer, and they'll all do it, you know, in one breath. But you can slow that thing down and pray it in a couple of minutes or an hour and just rest in the Father love of God. God, thank you that you let me be your child. Thank you. You love me like that. Thank you. And God, make your name holy in my life, not my name, but your name, God, over this business, God, over my family, God, in this relationship. God, let your name be the most important name. And Lord, I just say, your kingdom come, your will be done. God, I'm going to ask you for some bread in a minute, but right now, shape my prayers. And then you ask God, when you need bread, God, I need, this is what I think I need. And Lord, I need some forgiveness because I can be such an idiot at times, just act in my flesh. And God, I'm going to really need some help to forgive that person that hurt me. I'm not there yet, God, but I'm open to the journey, so help me to forgive like you've forgiven me. And Lord, I don't need you to lead me into temptation. I find it by myself pretty good. But God, would you just keep me from bad places and bad people and bad things that I don't need. God, I'm asking you to rule over me and overrule me. And God, if the enemy's coming at me, I pray for protection. You deliver me from the evil one. Your name is better, it's stronger. Greater is the one in me than the one in the world. God, you're my protection. You're my children's protection. You're my grandchildren's protection. And God, help me to remember that yours is the kingdom and the glory and the power forever. You've won, so we win. God, build my faith to that end. 2 minutes. You can stretch that out. I prayed a couple of apps on my phone. Pause app, dwell app, abide app. Sometimes you just need somebody to teach you to pray. What am I saying? I'm saying learn to pray. Learn to pray. And they prayed fervently. They wasn't just, you know, praying. Sometimes they was praying. And in Acts 12, when Peter's in prison and tomorrow he's going to die, they weren't praying, you know, God, just be with Peter tonight. Just pray, he would be comforted. And Lord, be with his family. He's going to die, y'all. They're like, God, if you don't show up, Peter's going to be gone. God, please don't let that happen. God, please move. God, intervene. I don't know what you got to do, but God, move. The Bible says in Acts 12, verse 5, that Peter's kept in prison and prayers for him was being made fervently by the church to God. God, our eyes are on you. And they're praying fervently. That word fervently means they're laboring. They are extending themselves. They're stretching out. They're exerting energy. They pray and praying. Oh, it's on now. We pray and praying. Praying like Hannah in 1 Samuel 1 when she wanted a child so bad. Her shame was so overwhelming because in her culture, she couldn't have a baby and it was crushing to her. And her bitter rival was getting pregnant every time the sun came up, it seemed like, and it was crushing her. And she was praying, and the preacher saw her and go, girl, are you drunk? No, I am praying and I will not quit until God answers me. This is what it means to wrestle with God. Praying fervently. I'm praying. Now, I might not even eat. I'm praying. And this kind of praying is going to require some discipline. This kind of praying is going to require some focus. This kind of praying is going to require some faith. This kind of praying is going to require some perseverance. Don't quit asking. Don't quit seeking. Don't quit knocking. Keep asking God for His will, His plan, in His time. Is it worth it? Well, don't ask me. Ask Portia and Kim and Tony. They were the ones with the problems when we started, right? Let's just see how that worked out for them. Would you watch their story?
I just knew that God wasn't through with me in spite of my age. And yet, this hearing challenge was huge for me. And I knew something had to be done. So I felt led to reach out for elder prayer.
All along the way, my wife and I had been praying very specific prayers. One morning, stumble upon this one particular house that we just loved and thought, hey, let's schedule to go see it.
Started praying, and I called all my prayer warriors that I know. It was almost like a chain of prayer, basically. Everybody just started praying. I had so many people praying for me.
While the elders were praying for me, and even when they were through, it was like I didn't have any sensation at all. However, on my way home, I had a strong sensation in both ears that I'd never felt before, and I believed that God was then at work.
So we put an offer on the house, and I started getting a little anxious, and I remembered the verses in God's word about being anxious. And so I gave it to God. And a few seconds later, I got a text message.
Even though I wasn't scheduled for a hearing test for another year, I thought, I'm going to make one. So 2 weeks later, I saw my audiologist and had such great news.
So I had the surgery, and during the surgery, they run a test to see test your level of reoccurrence. Mine came back at 0, which means I have less than 1% chance of reoccurrence.
My realtor messaged me and said that they took the offer.
A year ago, my understanding hearing in my right ear was 88%. But then, after the prayer, went up to 96%. Hearing doesn't improve like that, especially when you get to my age, without it being a miracle.
I did not have to go through any chemo, no radiation.
I had this overwhelming peace come over me, and to the point where I didn't want to tell my wife just yet because I was just so in the moment of praising God.
So now I can continue to serve and know that for sure is what the Lord wants me to do.
I have no doubt that God healed me, and I will continue to seek Him daily because He is a God who answers prayers.
This house is proof that in the middle of impossible circumstances, God will meet our every need when we pray.
Come on, can you praise God with me? Here's what I want you to hear. Prayer does not work. God works. It's not about how good you pray. It's about how good He is. You with me? You understand what I'm trying to say to you? Prayer doesn't work. God works. But God works when you start to talk to Him and sit with Him and hear from Him. And let Him, by His Holy Spirit inside of you, teach you to live and to pray as one thing. Living is praying. Praying is living. God works. And so I've preached on praying for 40-something minutes now. Can we just pray for a couple of minutes? My eyes on the clock. I know what time it is. But God in His supernatural power is plenty able to keep your food warm. Right? So can you give me five? Can we just take 5 minutes right here to say, God, teach me to pray?
I don't want to be a robber. Our Father. Our Father in heaven. Come on, just thank Him for His love. He loves you. He's crazy about you. Oh yeah, you. The woman caught in adultery, the man so strung out on drugs and addiction and demon possession, he lived in a graveyard naked. Oh, yep, that's you, that's it. That's the one, loves you too. Tax collector, robbing everybody blind, yep, loves him. God, thank you for love. Could you pray, God, make your name holy and big in my life, bigger than my name, bigger than my fame. Lord, let everything about me just show that you are good and holy and right. God, let your name be magnified in the midst of this diagnosis, in the midst of this layoff, in the midst of this breakup. God, make your name big in my life so that everybody can see it. God, I surrender to you. Your kingdom come, your will be done. Come on, can you pray that? I know you got some needs and some stuff you want, but before you ask for what you want, would you just say, God, would you show me what you would have me pray? God shows you how you should pray. Would you ask Him for daily bread? Seek His forgiveness. Seek help in forgiving someone else. Ask Him for the direction that you need. Ask for His protection. But let Him show you how to pray. God, I'm asking you to change them, but God, would you start with me? It'd be silly for me to ask you to change them, and I'm not changed, so God, change me first. Make me a daddy worth following. Make me a man who loves before he seeks love. God, give me patience. Give me patience. Holy Spirit, we need you to help us. Lord, your word says that yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So God, we know that whenever we're praying in alignment with what you're telling us to pray, God is coming. It may not be right now, but God is coming. So God, give us faith to trust it. God, give us confidence to keep praying, knocking, and asking. God, give us perseverance to not let go. God, we will reap a harvest in due season if we don't grow weary and quit. So Lord, teach us to pray. Teach us. Teach us to be. And God, bring your kingdom and shine your light through our lives and through our prayers. In just a second, we're going to stand up. We're going to keep praying, but we're going to stand up and we're going to sing a song that just says, God, I believe for it. And your prayer may be, God, you got to give me some faith. God, you can do anything. So I want you to give me faith to believe what I'm singing. But listen, there are going to be some men and women down here at the front of this room online. They're waiting to pray with you. But here's what I want to say. If you need a miracle, if you need a breakthrough, if you need just help to know how to pray, whatever that is, I'm going to invite you. When we stand up to sing, would you come down here and let us put a hand on your shoulder and pray with you? Be the hands and feet of Christ to just watch the power supernaturally of God flow toward us. If you'll do it in faith, I believe God will meet us today. And so, Lord, as we stand to worship, we're going to continue to pray. And God, I pray you would let heaven just invade this house. Hear us, God. Move, Jesus. You will not fail us now. We declare it in Christ's name. Amen. Hey, would you stand with us? Let's worship. Let's let this be a house of prayer.